Seven Old Testament titles of the Lord are at the center of the enchanting hymn, Veni, Veni, Emmanuel, which sings with joy of the birth of Jesus Christ. But how can anything in the Old Testament refer to the Lord Jesus, who was born centuries after those texts were written? For an answer, we look to the prophets of Israel. The English word prophet comes from the Greek word prophetes, which means one who speaks for another. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, the prophets of Israel spoke for God, as our creed affirms each Sunday. And in the Old Testament, there are 16 prophets with books bearing their names. Four of these men are called major prophets because of the length of their texts, and 12 are called minor prophets simply because their texts are much shorter than the other four. The four major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. And the 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, and Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, and Micah, Naaman, Habakkuk, and Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Our first lesson today is from the prophet Micah, who lived at about the same time as the prophets Isaiah, Amos, and Hosea, roughly 700 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. During Micah's life, the city of Jerusalem had become more wealthy and beautiful than ever before, but much of that prosperity was based on dishonesty and immorality. And so a great deal of Micah's prophecy concerns the coming destruction of Jerusalem because of the sins of the political, economic, and religious elite. Remember that King David unified the 12 tribes and their territories into a single kingdom, which was also ruled by David's son, Solomon. But after Solomon's death, the unified kingdom was split by rebellion into two kingdoms, leaving both parts weakened and subject to invasion. The northern kingdom of Israel included Samaria, Galilee, and the coastal cities of the Mediterranean, along with the southwestern corner of modern Syria, while the southern kingdom of Judah, with its capital at Jerusalem, stretched down to the southern desert and the Dead Sea, and included the historic homelands of only two of the 12 tribes, Judah and Benjamin. After the separation of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel, the worship of two gods was officially permitted in the northern kingdom, the true worship of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the false worship of Baal, a pagan fertility god. The prophets condemned this idolatry as infidelity to the covenant with the living God and warned the rulers of the northern kingdom that disaster would follow as a consequence of their sins. As foreseen, the northern kingdom was invaded in 722 BC and was destroyed by the Assyrian Empire. And the Jewish people were then scattered and intermingled with Gentiles, leading to the dispersal of the so-called 10 lost tribes. The prophets, of course, saw in this defeat the vindication of the true God over idolatry. The prophet Micah was one of those who witnessed these events and concluded that the providence of God was at work. Then in 701 BC, the same Assyrians invaded Judah and besieged Jerusalem, but could not conquer the city, and so did not stay. Micah continued to denounce the immorality of the elites of Jerusalem and described the coming devastation of that city, even as he foresaw that once Judah had been destroyed and then restored, the new kingdom would lead all Gentiles out of the darkness of idolatry and into the light of divine revelation and true worship. The prophecy of Micah is invoked several times in the New Testament, including in Zechariah's hymn of praise at the birth of John the Baptist, and again on the lips of the Lord Jesus, who explains that the truth of the gospel will divide family members against each other, just as the kingdoms of Israel and Judah were divided. But the most important reference to Micah in the New Testament comes in chapter 2 of St. Matthew's Gospel, when the Magi arrived in Jerusalem asking to worship the newborn king of the Jews. King Herod asked the chief priests and scribes to identify the birthplace of the Messiah, and Matthew describes their answer. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet." That prophet was Micah. But why Bethlehem? It was fitting that the Messiah should be born in Bethlehem, because David himself was born and anointed king in Bethlehem, a small town about 6 miles southeast of Jerusalem. Then, after David united the 12 tribes into a single kingdom, David moved his capital to Jerusalem and brought the Ark of the Covenant there to concentrate all religious and political authority in the holy city. David's son Solomon then built the first temple to house the Ark and to be the privileged place for the worship of the true God. All of that occurred more than 900 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus. But despite the many calamities in the intervening millennium, this history of ancient Israel is all still deeply connected to our approaching Feast of Christmas. Both kingdoms were eventually conquered, and the temple was destroyed. The Ark was lost, and the people were taken captive to Babylon, and the land of promise was traded among the empires of the ancient world until Roman rule was established at Jerusalem in 63 BC. But through it all, the words of the prophet were never forgotten, because the word of the Lord endures forever. And so 2,000 years after the birth of the Messiah, here we are, preparing for the joy of Christmas by reading from the book of the prophet Micah, 2,700 years after it was written. Thus says the Lord, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. Therefore, he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace." Friends, this is why the 7 titles in the hymn, "O Come, Emmanuel," speak of the Lord Jesus, titles which are invoked in the week before Christmas each evening at Vespers to show that the Lord Jesus is the fulfillment of all the types and figures of the Old Covenant. Christ is Emmanuel, wisdom from on high, Lord of might, rod of Jesse, key of David, dayspring, and desire of the nations. Every word of Holy Scripture, in some way, speaks about the Christ, because the eternal Word of God, who in the fullness of time took flesh of the Virgin Mary and was made man, is also the designer and maker of all things, the one who planned from before the creation of the universe to come to us and live with us and suffer and die for us and rise to new life among us, so that we could abide with him forever and share his unbounded glory, world without end. This same eternal word is the one about whom the scriptures speak in human words, breathed out by God through the authors of each book in the Bible during the long ages of the world, from the call of Abraham to the sojourn in Egypt, from the exodus out of slavery to the giving of the law, from the formation of the kingdom to the exile and return of the children of Israel, from the preaching of the prophets to the coming of John the Baptist. All of that was a preparation for the incarnation of God the Son, and that is how the prophets were able to speak of the Christ, though they knew him not. That is how the psalmist sang of the Christ, though he saw him not. The written word of God speaks of the eternal word of God, who became the incarnate Word of God. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in the womb of the Virgin Mary, it was because of Mary's trust in that same Word of God. Then when Mary arrived pregnant at the home of her kinswoman Elizabeth to help her with the unexpected gift of John, the infant prophet leapt in his mother's womb, and Elizabeth cried out, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Both Elizabeth and John were given the grace to understand even before the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem that the Word had become flesh. And so Elizabeth declared to Mary the wisdom that can help all Christians abide forever in the Word of God through the obedience of faith. "Blessed are you who believe that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled." Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.